blessings and welcome. Let us begin as we begin all prayer by reminding ourselves that we are in the holy presence of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, I pray that you unlock my heart, that I might be fully alive to my true identity in you. Give me clear revelation to see myself the way you see me. Help me to stand in your truth, to relish in your love, and to open my heart with faith, hope, and love. Amen. My heart is so full of gratitude that you have joined us on this Lenten retreat, Who Do You Say That I Am? This retreat follows the first week of the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola. And why only the first week, when there are 4 weeks? Some masters of the spiritual exercises posit that Ignatius and his companions often gave the first week and only the first week of the spiritual exercises, because it is this first week where we are invited to cultivate a much deeper love and gratitude, wonder and awe for what God has done for us and continues to do, all out of love for us. So when we look at our sins, we look at them in context of the whole. Ignatius guides us to see sin as part of our creation, which isn't to say God created sin, but what God created, angels, the first humans, and all the humans after that, thought they could go out on their own without God and make their own choices. Lewis Newman, author of Repentance, The Meaning and Practice of Teshuvah, writes about sin as this. Sin is about pretending that something is true when in fact it is not. Idolatry is pretending that something is divine and worthy of our devotion, when in fact it is not. Repentance is all about choosing truth over deception. In other words, we could be mistaken for something that we think is good, when in fact it is not. Jacqueline Surratt Bergen and Sister Marie Schwann, CSJ, from part 2 of their Take and Receive series, Forgiven, offers the story of Othello as an example of this mistake. In Othello, Shakespeare shows us a man caught between the innocent trust of the beautiful Desdemona and the cunning evil of Iago, his plotting subordinate, to be tempted by the manipulative innuendos of Iago, who cast seeds of doubt as to Desdemona's faithfulness. Othello succumbs in the belief that her death will rid the earth of an evil influence. Othello strangles Desdemona. Only when it is too late does he realize that he has killed the one person who has loved him without reservation. He recognizes and claims the evil within himself. So in anguish, he cries out, "Roast me in sulfur, wash me in steep down gulfs of liquid fire. Oh, Desdemona, Desdemona, dead." Even in movies like Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, and the countless number of superhero movies, the forces of good and evil are at war, battling for control. And even the visuals that illustrate good and evil are shown as translucent light and empowering strength versus foreboding darkness and satanic control. These illustrations are not limited to the cinematic universe. These dramas of good versus evil plays out in each of our lives. We have, each of us, a darkness and a light. We have shadow selves that the world's best psychologists have encouraged us to confront and know and become aware of. Again, Bergen and Schwann write, "If we repress or deny this negative side of ourselves, we become increasingly vulnerable to its influence, as was Othello." If we do not grow in awareness of our shadow selves, then we will contribute to the sins of the world, hate, war, conflict, violence, ignorance, greed, lust, and so on and so forth. And yet, my good people, God loves us anyway. I bet there are countless opportunities, material goods, memories, good and wonderful moments in our lives that God gifted to us despite all of our sins. God loves us anyway. I had a moment in high school when I left home to hang out with my best friend, and I didn't come home for 4 days, except to take money from my parents' house. And God loved me anyway, except to steal concert tickets my mother forbade me to have. And God loved me anyway. I called my grandmother to ask for more money that weekend, which in turn caused my grandmother to scold my mom, her daughter, for not giving me money. And yet God loved me anyway. And the outright arguments and teenaged angst and resentment that corresponded to my being punished. Wow. Looking back, my parents were not wrong for being so upset. And God loved me anyway. And that's just one moment of my life as a teen. There are so many sins and errors and wrongdoings and missteps in the years after that. And you know what? God has loved me anyway. And I know that God loves me because I can look back throughout my life and see the blessings and graces I've received. I can look at the history of our world and see the sins caused against humanity and all of God's creation and still know God continues to love us anyway. I had breakfast this morning. I took a walk with my legs. I saw the sun with my eyes and felt the cold, and I shivered. And I have a roof and a bed and 3 square meals. And for me, in my story, all those things and more are indicators that God loves me, even if the shadow side of myself lingers out in the world longer than I or God would like. And again, God loves us anyway. Now, let's dive into some personal prayer. This week's prayer options come from Karen Keene at the Redwood Center for Spiritual Care and Education. I selected these intentionally because what these prayer options invite us to do is face our shadow selves within the safety and love of Christ. A link to her website and all reflection materials can be found in the PDF below. Option 1. Read 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to chapter 2, verses 2. After you take some time reading the scripture passage, consider your past sins. Ignatius suggests calling to mind places you have lived, people you have known, and particular occupations in order to facilitate this kind of reflection. The goal here is not to be laden with guilt or shame, but to own the truth that each of us has and does participate in sin. Transformation begins with honesty, and transformation is possible because God readily forgives and desires to help us love better. Then close your prayer time by reading Psalm 130. Option 2. Read Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. After you've had a chance to read and soak in the words of God, ask God to bring to mind a specific person or people with whom you need to make amends or reconcile. Write a letter, make a phone call, meet them in person, Ask God to give you courage, wisdom, and humility to reach out. This might be challenging, and yet coming to know our shadow selves means we might have to do some repairing of relationships along the way. But do whatever is most comfortable for you. I've done this exercise before, and all I could do was write a letter that I never sent. But in that exercise, I uncovered forgiveness and tenderness that has helped me heal and grow closer to God. Remember, any and all prayer begins just by showing up. God will do the rest. Finally, option 3. Take a moment to listen to some music. I recommend If You Can Hear Me by Ben Rector or Reclaim Your Sheep by Liturgical Folk or Come Ye Sinners by Ordinary Time. Consider what the lyrics are saying. Consider how the music is making you feel and talk to God about these things. With that, let us pray. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.